It's February 25, 2025, 7 p.m., and I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assemblymember Robbins.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Robbins?
Here.
Mock?
Here.
Odison?
Here.
Dalrymple?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
DeBoer?
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Here. Thank you. Item two, ceremonial matters. There are none for this evening. Item three, persons to be heard. Thank you. All right. First up, we have DJ McConaughey. Are you here?
Oh, wait, comes up.
Okay, and that is item 11A. Correct, sewer?
Yes.
Okay. And Cindy Kilpatrick.
Oh, wait till it comes up as well.
All right. That's item 11A. All right. And Greg McCormick.
Same.
All right. Anyone else who'd like to testify? All right. Assembly, we're going to item four, amendments to the agenda. Do I hear any amendments? Okay, hearing none. Item five, conflict of interest. Any member have any conflict? Okay, hearing none. Item six, consent agenda. I need a motion.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Odison. Any discussion? For the public, we have harbor accounts receivable, delinquent accounts sent to collections, and utility delinquent accounts sent to collection. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mock?
Yes.
Odison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item seven, borough manager's report, and there are several reports under your
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have our Parks and Rec director and finance director first. I'm going to go ahead and kick it to Lucy to start us off. The assembly had give a head nod per Jim DeBoer's request on parks, so she has created a proposal. I'm going to present that to you guys tonight and then plans to host a work session subsequently with your approval. So, Lucy.
Good evening, Mayor and Assembly members. Thank you for the opportunity to present this proposal for funding for a new playground. Based on strong community feedback, we are requesting initial funding to create a safe, engaging, and expandable play space that meets the needs of Wrangell's families while ensuring long-term sustainability. We pumped out a community survey a few weeks back, and it was essentially to guide our decision-making so that we could understand which playgrounds or which site was a priority within the community. We did have, and the you guys received the packet, and there the playground that received the most votes, and we had two playground options out there. The playground that received the most votes was Shoemaker Bay Playground site area with 59%. There were only 93 responses. I'd like to give that another round and see if we can't get some more engagement in that. But the results demonstrate a clear preference for Shoemaker Bay at this time as the best investment for playground redevelopment. My proposal involves community involvement. We believe the best playgrounds are built with community input and transparency. Our approach will include playground theme survey. Residents would help shape the design, choosing themes such as mascots, sports, animals, local industry, and color schemes. Transparent budgeting as well, because I think oftentimes, just generally, people aren't really aware of how much the structures actually cost. And your biggest expense lies in the shipping of the structures and the equipment, as well as the resurfacing. And then that as well leads to the surfacing, and the safety surfacing is also a very big expense. So I think it's really important as we move forward, however we move forward, we're very transparent in the budgeting and that we establish a set equipment budget and provide multiple design options within that limit to our community so that they would be able to take a look at the equipment options as well as the budget and perhaps pick a few and vote on those so that the community can help to build the playground within the specific budget. And again, community vote on equipment. Just everything needs to be clearly outlined. And this engagement process ensures the playground reflects community values and priorities while remaining financially responsible and reasonable. Budget considerations, safety, surfacing, and shipping, like I said, are typically the largest costs. Fencing and ADA compliance are essential for accessibility and security. Inspection and long-term maintenance, which I feel is a really important factor when we set up infrastructure, when we set up parks, when we set up any trails, anything, I think we need to have better long-term maintenance goals and money set aside for that because it is definitely an expense that needs to be considered. We did have a community member recently submit a design for a playground, which was really helpful and amazing. However, I think a lot of that was missing, again, the cost of the shipping and the cost of the resurfacing. I think a phased approach to development is an option. Rather than waiting for full funding, we would propose a phased implementation to ensure the project moves forward while allowing for future growth. Phase one would include core infrastructure and initial play features, resulting in a $100,000 funding request. Requests for immediate funding would include installing safety surfacing, adding 1 to 2 key play structures, and securing the site with fencing, creating a safe designated play area. Phase two would be an expansion and additional features for future funding, procuring additional play equipment based on community input and available funds, enhancing landscaping and seating, adding picnic tables, shade structures, and gathering spaces, perhaps maybe not shade structures, but rain structures, rain covering, explore grant and private funding opportunities. So seeking contributions from local businesses, grants, and fundraising efforts, which we are already doing. I provided, and I'm sorry for the terrible copy, but the Wrangell Park, we are already kind of initiating funding with a playground revitalization sponsorship opportunity for community members. We have several sponsorship tiers allowing folks to pop online or even into the office or give us a call and donate through that sponsorship. So that's an option as well. This phased approach allows Wrangell to make immediate progress while keeping the project flexible for future expansion as funding becomes available. Safety surface options, just to dig into the budget side of things a little bit, we do have a couple of alternative solutions out there. Partial surfacing. So, for example, you could have some of the area partially surfaced, accessible pathways instead of full coverage. That would help reduce some of our costs, or a mix of materials. So just reducing some of the costs, being creative. And then sustainability, the surface must be safe, cost-effective, and easy to maintain over time. I think being able to have a safe environment while also being able to replace certain sections would be helpful, just budget-wise and maintenance-wise. So next steps and requests for support, we are seeking $100,000 in the initial funding to begin phase one of the playground project, ensuring we can establish a safe, high-quality foundation for this long-term community asset. With assembly support, we could move forward immediately while continuing to pursue additional funding opportunities for expansion. I would like to consider, if you guys have additional questions or would like to dig into these details, a work session to engage further, if the assembly were to agree.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
And again, this was brought before the assembly because that's what the assembly wanted, so
yes.
Here we are.
That's what we asked, yeah.
Any comments for the Parks and Rec Director at all?
Anything, assembly member DeBoard?
Could you elaborate on the current status of our playgrounds?
The current status of our playgrounds, we are certainly in need of new playgrounds. I don't have specifics for you, Jim, and I'm sorry about that. I can get some. But we are certainly in need of new playgrounds in every area. Every site needs new playgrounds. We have to come up to ADA compliancy, safety surfacing, and we don't have one playground that doesn't need something.
Assemblymember.
So this $100,000 for first phase, is this for one playground?
This would be for one playground. And I can get more specific details in terms of shipping, actual quotes on safety surfacing. This figure came from after having a conversation with Heather, who is with Northwest Playgrounds. She's been in our community twice before, assessing our playgrounds, and has a really good idea of our needs and understands as well. She's from the Pacific Northwest, understands our environment and what it would take to actually set up just the initial phase.
So I also say I've been blessed with some quite a few grandchildren, and I've been in different communities a lot, Ketchikan specifically lately. Talked to some people there that was in the parks that had development for the parks there. And I see a book you have here. They said stay away from anything metal at all. If it's even painted, powder coated, whatever, because it's going to rust. They have actually replaced stuff that 5-6 years of our climate. So I don't know what that book you have with that playground. It looks like there's a lot of metal bars and stuff in there. And they said to stay away from all that.
Thank you. I appreciate that information. I think that is just an example of what the structures cost, regardless of a material. I was looking at one that was a wood structure or had wood structures, and those are significantly more. So, you know, we would have to, I think, take a good look at all of our options and then weigh out the cost as well as the durability. Anything else?
Anything?
Mayor Gilbert, if I might. So is this something the Assembly wants a work session on in the future, or is this, what do we want to do here?
I'd like a report. I don't necessarily want a work session until we have some money generated.
Okay.
I think this will be a discussion with our budget if we're going to try to start this with $100,000 from the budget. We've got to find that, and then perhaps thereafter we can do some workshop on this.
That's great, and we're going to talk a bit about the budget tonight. Lucy, if you would you describe how people can donate to kind of the grassroots foundation that you guys have set up?
Yeah, absolutely. Community members, businesses, organizations can go to wranglerec.com, and we do have Helping Our Parks Fund, and it goes specifically towards playground development. They can also come into Wrangell Parks and Recreation, into the office when we're open, and they can donate there. They can use cash, check, or credit card. And then there's specific levels or tiers of sponsorship. And of course, you know, the more money you contribute, the more your name or business gets out there into the public. I mean, we'll name a darn park after you if you'd like, if you give us enough money. So those are the ways as well, community engagement-wise and helping. We are planning on hosting several fundraisers. In fact, one of our events, our upcoming Sprint Triathlon in April, the registration fees will go towards that. Although those things are small beans in comparison to what we're asking for or what we need, I think those are little ways that the community can engage, and we can continually like build those bricks of funding. Mason and I had chatted about a lot of our program fees or activity fees or event fees going towards those. And there's been a lot of people that have asked to help with fundraising efforts. Although, again, it's those fundraising efforts, I think, are incredibly important, as well as work-based committees and parties and events. So coming and actually breaking down equipment, things like that, we'll host those as well. But it'll take a lot longer if we just go that route. good?
Yeah. And keep us apprised of the fundraising efforts.
I will.
How and successful you are.
And Patty, if you mentioned a report, are you speaking specifically for the budget, or do you want me to come up with more detailed numbers?
Well, as you meet with your committees and come up with themes and maybe even equipment or surface, yeah, as you gather information, we want a report.
Okay. Last thing I will say before I leave is, Heather, who is the representative at Northwest Playgrounds, mentioned that she would visit our community for free and design a playground, and we would provide her with a budget, and she would gladly come and help us design a playground, be it phase one, phase two, or the whole thing, and then we could piecemeal it together. There are obviously things that I am not well versed in that she would be, and they don't need secured funding. They don't need any type of anything. They would come here for free and do that for us. So that's something that we could consider and have them pop into Wrangell and help us with that. I think we would also need to make a decision before we decide to do that on exactly which playground we're going to do. So, okay.
Thank you. All right.
We got questions.
Assemblymember DeBoard.
I would like to see a work session, but maybe a month, 6 weeks out, give her some time to get some information and potentially have this Heather person come visit us at that point in time. I would argue that I would want to have it. So, I mean, this could be $100,000 or $1 million or $2 million, but we kind of, you know, need to understand more of how much are we looking at putting into this. And I think the other thing is time. If we delay, then it's 2 or 3 years from now that these are built. And I've been working on this since before my kids were born. So I would like to try to keep the ball rolling.
Assemblymember DeBoard, this assembly moves.
I understand
so
that.
We will.
Which is why I want to continue.
Yeah, we will tackle this. I just don't want a work session where we don't have enough information.
But that's why I'm saying 4 or 6 weeks. That should be sufficient to get.
One thing to consider she said we could give her any dollar amount and she could design something that would fit within that, in those parameters, and consider also the potential expansion for a phase two, phase three, phase four, and beyond. So we could get her up here sooner than later, you know, we could get her up here sooner than the 6 weeks. Within that time, get her up here and get some more information.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Assemblymember Powell.
So two things. I agree with our city manager about our budget.
Yep.
I would like to get through to into the budget before we find out what we're actually going to have to cut.
Agreed.
And the whole nine yards before we have a work session to know if we even have money available at this time before we have any more commerce in town to do something like this. And then another thing is, you talked about how much money are you gonna give, someone may give, and you name a park after them.
Mm-hmm.
Have we talked to WCA, Clinkett and Haida, about them funding one of these parks and putting their name on it?
I've put together proposals. One thing that I wanted to do is to speak with Mason before I go to those organizations. I have several, a list of several organizations, not only Search and WCA, but several other, I guess, private sector organizations and businesses that I'd like to speak to.
Because as we know, I mean, you just mentioned Search too. Parks are wellness. So, I mean, there's got to be money out there for these kind of situations. And I mean, we put their name on it. I mean, I'd God put someone's name on a park if they want to buy a park.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I'd like to look at all avenues before we start taking out of our general fund.
Okay. Thanks. Anything else, guys?
Assemblymember Mock.
Yeah, I appreciate what you kind of presented. I, just from my experience, written proposals to the private sector are very helpful. It's one thing to call or talk, but getting something on paper is very valuable. So I would definitely try to lean towards that. But also kind of looking at let's say we found the money to invest in, you know, new equipment at a park, you know, 10 years down the road, we're going to be in the same position and say, well, we did one park or one playground. What about the next one? What about the next one? So it'd be interesting to see kind of the state of each of our playgrounds and then kind of make a, you know, what's my 10-year dream plan?
I do have those dreams. So, and I just knew that there was just a short amount of time. I know you guys have a big job to do tonight. So I wanted to make this quick presentation. If we were to come together for a work party, I could tell you my dreams, and then we could hash out some things. I do have a plan for collaboration, especially with a nonprofit organization here in town. I think the collaborative effort is going to get us much farther than if we work in silos. So some of the ideas that I have would need, I think, surveys and community input as well before we would move forward with that, because it does involve some changes and movement of some of the equipment. But I think that working together and getting creative and finding solutions is going to be tough but doable as a team. So
yep, there's a solution.
For sure.
We'll find it.
Okay, thanks guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Wait a minute, Assemblymember
DeBoer. The last thing I'll say is just, I think we have got to do something to support our younger working age people in this community. We've hemorrhaged 150 people, according to the paper, in the last 4 years that were working age. And when I talk to people, especially other parents, the biggest thing that comes up is our playgrounds and the condition and state of them. And then you go to another community, especially going down south, and you take your kids, and they're just absolutely in awe of what is just normal for them down here or down there. And then, you know, I just want to catch up to the times a little bit and try to do something to retain some of our younger worker kids.
Good. So. Very well put.
Okay, thank up you. Next we have our finance director, Jackson Poole, to cover over his report real quick, and then I'll get to mine. And then we will very shortly get to 11A, which I know people are waiting patiently.
Right,
for.
Yeah.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Assembly members. Good to see you again. First, I'll start off. I think Mason already covered this last meeting, but pleased to announce that we got the GFOA budget award for the FY25 budget. That is, I think, only 3 to 5 communities in Alaska, and then about 3,000 nationally get it. So it's a lot of work goes into that award, and I just want to give a shout out to everybody who worked on that budget, because it is a big accomplishment, and we're going to try to get it every year. So we got expectations now. And going on with the budget for FY26, we're making steady progress on that, focusing on responsible financial planning, transparency to the community. I've been working on it every day. Have all the department heads working on it, getting input. We're in a pretty good spot for this early in the year, and me and Mason are going to be working on that pretty heavily this week. Finance launched a new online payment portal, PayIt. You can pay sales tax, transient tax, and property taxes on it, and eventually we're going to have utilities on that as well. It's secure, user-friendly, and it gives taxpayers flexibility. You can do it from your mobile, your computer, tablet, saves your cards, saves your bank. You can do a number of things. And it makes reporting better for us as well, more accurate reporting, more accountability for taxes in the community. So we're going to be posting more about that on our socials and our website, get some QR codes out, links. Yeah?
Yeah.
The program you just said, PayIt?
Yeah.
Okay, how are we getting that out to our businesses about sales tax? Are we putting the card in the mail? What are we doing?
Yeah, we will be making it known as much as possible. We can send it out with tax forms. We can send letters to all the businesses. I think socials is the big one. We're just finalizing some last steps before we really push it. I mean, okay. We want a lot of the community to be using this.
The other medium we're deploying that through is Nixle. So when Callie Miller was previously, before she was at the Harbor, she was our sales tax clerk, and she has a Nixle group with sales tax. So that'll be distributed through that format as well.
Okay, thank you.
Little staffing update. I think Mason covered this last time as well. Please do announce that we hired our intern, Daniel Harrison, for our new property and sales tax clerk. He is really bright beyond his years, so he's a huge addition for us, helps us out on a number of things. And as we kind of approach sales tax audits. He's going to be helping us out a lot with that. So we're coming in the final stages of implementing that, getting some legal approval on some things with that, and we're going to be hitting that quarterly very hard. So he'll be a big help with that. And then
That position was unfilled for quite a few months, wasn't it?
Probably a couple of years, I believe. Yeah. I think Callie Miller.
Yeah, a year
was
and
that.
A half.
So okay. I think that there's been a lack of accountability on the borough's side for regarding sales taxes.
Yes. And
that's a really, really large item that we're going to tackle starting hopefully next month.
Yeah, we had one case today. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one case today. So we're doing it. We're making good progress. And just want to hold businesses accountable and us accountable. So moving on from that, a little banking update. I've been working pretty hard on the banking side. I've approached different, just kind of see where we're at. I've approached different institutions to see where our rate's at. I've been working with a third party, 3+1. They gave us some services to kind of show where our Wells Fargo relationship was at with a lot of their clients. And then I approached KeyBank and got a pro forma from them, Bank of America. In the end, I ended up negotiating better banking rates with Wells Fargo, and we got a new management team with them, and I'm really happy with them. I engaged with them a lot last week. So we're fully implementing the sweep account now, and that's estimated to give us about $11,000 for the year, which completely offsets our total borough-wide banking fees, which will be great. And lastly, a little audit update. We're still going on the FY24 audit. I know it's been a long time. We've got about a month left. I think April 1 at 5 p.m. That's probably when we're actually going to be done. But the auditors have had nothing but good things to say, and they've been really, really happy with how Wrangell has progressed over the past 4 years. So props to Mason and the rest of the finance team and the assembly. They're really happy. I think we're in a really great spot, and we're shooting for zero findings this year, and I haven't really heard any bad news myself. So we'll keep you guys updated as we move on with that, and keep you updated on the budget process as well. So,
okay.
Thank you, Jackson.
We'll be seeing you. Any questions, assembly?
Thank you guys.
And Petersburg got one significant deficiency, so if we get zero, we beat them. Thank you. It's nice to have a recreation and a finance director report. Kind of breaks it up nicely on two ends of the spectrum. We'll get into the manager's report. First of all, I'd like to give the community attention to several positions we have available here at the borough. We have a maintenance 1, 2, or 3. There's 3 positions available through Public Works. We have a parks custodian light maintenance position at the Parks and Rec. And we have a police officer position that we are currently reviewing candidates. And then we have a human resources manager / executive assistant that has a first review on March 1st. So would encourage the public, if you're looking for employment, to go to wrangell.com/jobs. And we have all of our job postings there with applications and job descriptions. So lots of different job opportunities. And moving on to the employee spotlight, with those job opportunities comes hires, and I'd like to introduce tonight our fire chief and his new hire, Anna Allen, as our fire EMS administrator. So why don't you stand up, Anna? Would you like to say anything?
Oh boy!
Speech.
It's horrible.
Sorry to put you on the spot, but it is the employee spotlight.
Yeah, so. Thank you for letting me know that I was going to be talking tonight. I appreciate that. This position has been a goal of mine for a couple of years now. Well, I mean, really ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a part of the fire department, but getting to be in this position is incredible, and I'm super excited about getting in there and starting to work alongside with Jordan and all of you guys.
Great. Well, welcome to the team, Anna, and thanks, Jordan, for a good hire.
Thank you.
I'd also like to recognize Kate Thomas tonight, our Economic Development Director. She has served the borough for 10 years now. We just hit her 10-year anniversary. That's 8 years at Parks and Rec, famous for coining the Downtown Bump Out Project, helping our parks program.
Yeah.
Coming online as Economic Development Director, immediate impacts. She established the Marketing and Community Development Coordinator position, which has had a lot of fruits out of that position. And if you're just starting a job and you have to create a new position and make sure that they're onboarded appropriately, it's quite the task, and she did a wonderful job doing that and has mentored two different folks in that position at this time. She started the community addressing project. You guys have seen that go out to bid, and we got contracts in place and contractor working on it, so everybody in Wrangell will have an appropriate address. It won't be I live at 5.5 mile with the red door next to so-and-so. We actually have an address, and that's really great for our police chief and fire chief in the back to do their work yes. timely. So really grateful for that forward momentum. She's facilitated a lot of key land sales. We have lots of land sales in play. We got proposals on the mill property. We got the WCA lot C. We got the hospital property. So we got the Aldertop land sale coming up this summer. So she's been coordinating all that. It's a lot of work. I just want to thank her for her tireless efforts at Parks and Rec and Economic Development. 10 years is a big thing. I've been here for 4, and sometimes it feels like 40, but I really appreciate all the work she's doing. So thank you, Kate. Okay, and I'd like to finally recognize Andrew Scambler, who's put in a ton of work at the Water Department, seeing through the commissioning of our water treatment plant. That's a $24 million project. It's taken 18 months of construction. It's something the borough's attempted to do for, I don't know, 15 years or something. We finally have done it, and that's in large part to Tom and Andrew at the water treatment plant. And he's been working overtime. He's working 7 days a week in some cases, and has been an abundance of help to not only the contractors and the engineers who seem to push work onto him, and he's very willing to do that, but he's went over above and beyond, and I think it's appropriate to recognize Andrew Scambler tonight as well. So thank you, Andrew. I'd like to comment a bit on the federal government disruptions. Lots going on. Everybody's seeing what's going on in the news. I want to give you a brief commentary as all that disruption relates to Wrangell. Certainly the Trump executive orders have caused significant disruption to the bureaucracy, the federal workforce. We've seen that here in town with our local Forest Service District. But I want to assure the public that our project funding as of now looks good. I don't see any snags. Reimbursements for certain programs might take longer, and you know, Jackson and I have worked out a cash flow program. We have sufficient buffers to make good on our short-term and long-term obligations, so we're not worried about cash flow or liquidity needs, so we're in good shape there. But we do see potential for some of our federal projects to get delayed. We're not going to start a new federal project if there's any concern that we're not going to get reimbursed timely or there's going to be further disruption. So what you'll see probably is a dynamic shift towards some of our state and locally funded projects, because we certainly will get the cash flow out of those projects. And we have 35 projects, so we can certainly pivot and be productive. So generally, I don't see any crazy disruption to the projects. I do, however, see disruption as it relates to CDS requests, to secure rural schools funding, and to essential air services. I'm sorry to say that one. And I've asked our lobbyists to write a good memo on this to you guys and the public. It's in my report. I can read it. I can go over it, depending on what the mayor would like.
What is the assembly? Just briefly go over it for the public.
Okay, so right now, the March 14th deadline for Congress to approve a spending bill is looming. It's coming right up. In that March 14th deadline will also be a separate consolidated Appropriations Act bill to fund federal fiscal year 25 CDS requests. So those are the projects we submitted last CDS cycle over a year ago.
Will you tell the public that they are? Yeah.
So that's the public safety building at $2.438 million. That's the wastewater treatment plant disinfection upgrades for $10 million. And that's the East Channel Emergency Access Road for $2.5 million. That's $15 million. Plus, we got a rider of a $250,000 free garbage truck, which our last garbage truck was free to from the Fed. So that's all on the line. We'll know by March 14th what happens. You may hear the term long-term CR, which means long-term continuing resolution, which means flat funding, and basically our CDS requests from last year are dead, which is why we also submitted those same CDS requests for reconsideration under the federal fiscal year 26 program, which they are also going through right now. So very busy in terms of congressional earmarks. Then we get to secure rural schools, which is my gravest concern. It is something that we've funded our schools out of locally here for a number of years, certainly as long as I've been here, and certainly over the last decade. Right now, our funding matrix for our local contribution is 20% of our sales tax goes to the school district, and then on top of that, we throw roughly anywhere from 500 to 800,000 from secure rural schools to our local contribution, which has yielded between a 1.3 and a 1.6 and change million dollar local contribution. Without, and the inflow of secure rural schools has ranged between 800,000 and 1.1 million for the borough. More, we get more than Petersburg because we have more national forest receipts appropriate to our, the borough's district. And so that's really concerning, and we're going to talk about the budget a little bit later in the manager's report. But I'm deeply concerned about the state of our general fund budget this year. I'm not so much concerned about the enterprise funds, but we, without secure rural schools, we are operating at an $800,000 deficit already. And I would predict, based on my conversations with the federal delegation and what's happening with the House, that we might not see that money. So that's concerning. In the same way, Essential Air Services, that is the program that subsidizes Alaska Airlines to the tune of $4 million and change. Certainly, our new fire and EMS administrator is aware of that. $4 million, Alaska Airlines is able to recognize a 5% profit margin, but they're capped at that under this agreement in Essential Air Services. If that goes away, they'll be reduced. They could reduce funding, or they could get stripped of all of it, which would mean they're either going to pass those fees along to us, or worse, down the line, which means we might be hopping on hopper planes to local hubs in Juneau and Ketchikan. Of course, it's my job to convey worst-case scenarios. I very much hope that's not the case, but it's in the cards right now, and that's scary. So I'll get to a potential solution on that down the road. And then, of course, if they don't pass a spending bill by March 14th, we're going to end up into a government shutdown. So don't think that's likely in this case. They're probably going to get some spending bill to continue or a long-term CR, but that's the essence of Seb O'Kelly's report, our federal lobbyist. Happy to talk in depth with assembly members. Again, I'd like to express my sympathies to anybody in the federal workforce in Wrangell that's been disrupted. It's regardless of what people think politically, it's not nice to wake up one day and lose your job like that abruptly. And I've instructed our economic development director to contact each of the folks that we know have lost employment with a federal agency in town. So she's going to be working with each of them, expressing different opportunities that are at the borough and different organizations across Wrangell, because from my perspective as manager, we want to retain as many jobs here in Wrangell. I don't care who you work for, we just want the jobs here, and that's kind of the gist of it. I'll move on to a community leadership meeting. Each month, we've started a thing where each leader of major organizations in towns is convening to talk about special topics and collaborative opportunities. So last month, or this month, on February 20th, we met with the Forest Service, Search, WCA, DOT, Wrangell Chamber, Public Schools, Trident was skiing, and Sea Level was there as well. So when you look at those employers across our community, that composes about 80% of our jobs, which is pretty significant. So we felt that it was important to meet routinely every month to discuss collaborative opportunities. And we've, through that first meeting, identified partnership opportunities on each related to each agency in the borough. For the U.S. Forest Service, we want to pursue good neighbor authority timber sales. That's certainly in line with the federal administration's agenda. It's going to keep them as a valuable district, and it'll also supplement our timber initiative. For Search, they have 158 employees in Wrangell permanently. That's something I wasn't aware of. It's probably something that most of the community wasn't aware of. 158 positions here in our community, the largest employer outside of the seasonal workers that come in for Trident. That's very, very significant. We're going to partner on multifamily housing. Carly Allen, their administrator up there, has a plan to produce some multifamily units that Kate and myself will be working with her to help solve some of the housing problem and shortage here in town. WCA, we're working on a lot of different initiatives with them, namely child care. We'll get to that a little bit later. State of Alaska Department of Transportation, Gary Allen, we met with him. Major project we're going to work on. We just did the airport runway backup generator lights for emergency circumstances. Our next project will be East Runway Ramp Extension. That'll provide more hangar space on the runway, not only for private use, but for economic development opportunities as we expand our tourism game. So that's our project we're going to be working on with them. For the Chamber, Economic Development Director Thomas is working on an MOU at the Chamber. The Chamber is moving to the Nolan Center in a shared space over there. We think it'll be an opportunity for collaboration and reaching some shared goals. So that MOU is front and center in that partnership. Wrangell Public Schools is a pretty simple one right now. It's just trying to get them as much money as we can with our budget. And I want to refute the notion that I've heard this rumor going around town that the borough does not want to give money to the school district. That's simply not true. It's the borough can't give money to the school district because our general fund's running a significant deficit. And it's not just us. It's Petersburg, it's Ketchikan, it's Craig, it's everywhere in Southeast. That's why you're seeing Ketchikan Consolidated Elementary Schools, Juneau Consolidated High Schools last year, 260 layoffs up at the Anchorage School District proposed, tens and if not hundreds at the Fairbanks School District. So it's not just a borough problem, it's a state issue, and I just wanted to refute that because we would if we could, and we're going to try to find solutions, but it's frustrating to hear.
Yeah, and we are lobbying for an increase in the BSA, mm-hmm. basic student.
And with Trident and Sea Level, our seafood processors, we're just going to look to expand critical infrastructure so they can increase production capacity and as well as enhance their fleet. We want to draw more fishermen to town. We'd like to steal some from Petersburg and Ketchikan and POW. We got the cheapest stall rent in Southeast Alaska, so bring your boats over to Wrangell. Moving on to upcoming work sessions, meetings, and significant events. We just had our entitlement lands work session tonight. Thank you to Director Thomas for preparing that. I think it was a good update. I will be taking a lobbying trip sometime in Juneau, working with the lobbyists to coordinate that on when the most meaningful time to go would be. That's an opportunity I get to meet with Representative Bynum, Senator Stedman, DNR, DOT, and I kind of make the rounds all the way through. It's usually the busiest day of the year when we go lobbying, so that's coming up. We do have the Stikine Sportsman's Game Dinner and Girls Pearls on March 1st. That's this weekend. Gene Meek, our police chief, will be very busy and active with the rest of our troops out there, so don't drink and drive. Call a taxi, please. But it'll be a good economic development opportunity. Lots of folks come to town for that event, and we're proud to host the Sportsman at our very own Nolan Center. There's the Southeast Landslide Innovation Preparedness presentation over in Sitka. Jordan and I, or Jordan, will go to that presentation. That is an opportunity to collaborate over landslide preparedness, mitigation tactics, and funding. We were funded through the National Science Foundation for complete LIDAR of the borough and analysis. That's one of the projects they plan on showcasing at that presentation. So more to come in a future update at our second assembly meeting in March. The chamber dinner is on March 15th this year at the Nolan Center, so I'd encourage folks to go, and I know that the award recipients this year that they have selected are really, really deserving, so I hope the community comes out to support them. We have our timber stakeholders meeting on March 3rd through the 5th, which will include representatives from the governor's office, from State of Alaska DNR, local loggers, and other loggers off-island, including Alcan and Viking. We'll also have representation from Senator Murkowski's office and a boatload of others. So it'll be a productive meeting. And, of course, our hallmark there is to have our trust land office partners, which we've recently signed an MOU. Us, too, will be facilitating the meeting and a lot of good things to come out of it. And then we have a joint work session with the school district on March 24th to talk about the state of both of our budgets and what we can expect local contribution time. On Tuesday, March 25th, Jackson and I will be presenting a fee and rate schedule analysis for you all. Board Commission has already adopted their rates, so that leaves water, sewer, electric, and sanitation up for discussion, as well as some immaterial municipal rates. We have our insurance work session on April 22nd. We will invite our health insurance broker, USI, and we'll also be inviting Susan Erickson from PW Insurance that handles our property, cyber crime, mobile equipment, etc. And then on May 14th, we'll have our budget work session. And on May 22nd, we'll have a second budget work session if needed. And I have a feeling this year we're going to
need it.
So things are heating up, and certainly the budget's at the forefront of that, along with the state and federal game. Now, I could go to the whiteboard and show you this, or I can just tell you it, and I don't know if it's going to drag things out if I go to the whiteboard, but I'm deeply concerned about the budget. We are, Jackson has said, we are ahead of the game in terms of construction of the budget, but I'm just going to lay it out.
I don't know if the public can hear you if you go to the board.
Okay, well, I'm just going to give it to you verbally. It's very simple.
Yeah.
We get about $2.1 million in property taxes. That's not very much. Petersburg doubles us. Out of that property taxes, $1.3 typically goes to the police department, $500,000 goes to the fire, $300,000 goes to the library. So your property taxes pay for those three functions, and they pay for nothing else. That's very unconventional. We're a small municipality, but you go to the lower 48, typically they fund schools and your regional county roads and those types of things.
Okay, repeat that a little bit slower for the public.
Which part?
The whole thing. 2.1.
Okay.
Goes to.
2.1 million is for property taxes. Right. It goes to none other than police department, the library, and fire. That's it. Yeah. You don't pay for anything else with your property taxes as of right now, and that is in large part because we have what's called our senior property tax exemption. That's an unfunded mandate by the state for the first $150,000 on assessed value. Now we're getting creative with the legislature on ways to maybe change that or alleviate the issue that has hamstrung us in our tax base. We are the number two oldest population in the state of Alaska, so we are disproportionately affected, and our working class is disenfranchised as a result of it. And so we're working through solutions. So you got 2.1 million in property tax. You have 4 million roughly scheduled for sales tax proceeds. 800,000 off the top goes to the school district based off our funding matrix, so we have 3.2 million remaining in the general fund. Then we have three consistent sources that are of any materiality, which include 276,000 for our community assistance payment this year. That is $150,000 less than normal, so that's not a good start. We have $400,000 for our Department of Interior PILT. That is a PILT we get from the feds because they hold so much federal land here, it reduces our ability to increase our tax base, so they give us a PILT for $400,000. And then we have $300,000 in change for a jail contract. That puts us at $4.2 million roughly in general fund proceeds to cover admin, clerk, finance, the jail, public safety building, public works, streets, garage, maintenance, economic development, capital projects, the cemetery, the Nolan Center, and Parks and Rec. And oh, by the way, with secure rural schools out of the way, you have the school funded at $800,000, which is barely even the minimum, I think, this year. And you can't fund the school district at $800,000. So
no.
We're running a significant, we have a significant deficit as we go into hardcore budget season. So that means significant cuts. If secure rural schools doesn't come through and some of these other programmatic revenues that we depend on, it also means that working with the school district to find a solution. And I just say that because we've been talking about these circumstances for years. I remember when I walked in 2021 as finance director, got to do something with the school. We've said that for the last 3 years, and now the time's come. So you're going to see significant reductions in our budget unless something changes. And I just want to make the assembly aware of that, and that's heard loud and clear before we get into budget season. Any questions on the budget?
And then something the public asked me questions about, explain the enterprise funds, sewer, sanitation, ports and harbor.
Okay, we have five enterprise funds. We have the electric fund, we have the port and harbors fund, we have sanitation, water, and did I say electric already?
Yeah.
Sanitation, water, sewer, electric, and port and harbors.
Okay.
So those are our five enterprise funds. Enterprise funds are business type funds, different than governmental type funds like the general fund. That means they actually exchange services for value in the forms of rates and fees for the services that are actually provided. Governmental activities like the general fund, they are based on non-voluntary exchanges. We wouldn't pay property taxes or sales taxes if we didn't have to fund general government services, right? So those are called non-voluntary exchanges. So enterprise funds, the cost of business is absorbed by those rates and fees. And then there's reserves to recapitalize critical infrastructure so those services can be provided in longevity. So that is the distinction. I'm not so worried about our enterprise funds because there's not a ton of unfunded mandates as governmental activities face.
Except the big one that's looming is sewer.
I think you're going to see that dynamic change. I just think we'll have to wait and see what happens. But
okay.
For now, I guess you're right. I'm going to keep pressing along because I know there's a lot of people waiting. Okay.
Yeah.
So Sunday I was pretty concerned about our budget, so I met with Mason yesterday morning at 7, and we talked about this budget, and I asked him, and I knew he wasn't going to have time, but I'd like to have that all, what he just said, put like on the whiteboard or on the board over there with everything that's the expenditures, how it looks, how our budget looks. because we are not the only people that meet in this room. We have a lot of other entities that meet here, and I want everybody that does not come to our meetings to see that up there. So I'm still would like to see that on the wall or on the whiteboard and left there for everybody to see. And then that's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
I'd just like to see that.
Whiteboard it is. One other comment I'd make is a frequent thing I get when I'm at the grocery store around the public is, well, I heard you got $40 million in grant funding and blah, 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 blah. Why can't we use that for the general fund? Or why can't we use that for our services? Well, the grant funds that we get come along with compliance supplements, and they're provided certain provisions for certain projects, and you can't deviate from that. So when we get $2.5 million for the public safety building, it is for the public safety building. If we get $10 million for the wastewater treatment plant, we can't just say, well, we're not going to charge property taxes for 5 years. We're just going to deviate it to the office. We can't do those types of things. But I think it is important to say, because we have gotten a lot of infrastructure money over the last years, but that does not help our operational cause at the general fund. So just an important thing. Moving on to the emergency operations plan, our deadline is March 14th for public comment, as well as comments from the assembly. Gene, Jordan, and I, our fire and police chief, will meet and do a once-over of all the comments, as well as our own remarks, and we'll combine those and provide those to our contractor we're working with. We do plan to bring a draft for approval in late April or early May, and we will have a full-on draft or finalized EOP, which is a great success. I talked about the Wrangell Timber Initiative that we're hosting here on March 3rd through the 5th. I won't explain much more than that. We talked about that in the entitlement lands work session. We have submitted all of our CDS and CAPSIS requests to the tune of about $42 million for this federal fiscal year 26 and state fiscal year 26 as well. Really grateful for Amber and my director team for getting those all done. It's a heavy, heavy lift. There's pages and pages of requests that go into that, and so those are what we'll be lobbying for over the next few weeks. We've started a barge ramp condition assessment for the Wrangell barge ramp that's just 100 yards away here from the chambers. The last condition assessment we had was back in 2011, which highlighted some deficiencies in the ramp, but certainly it's been 14 years. It's a 48-year-old structure. We want to confirm that everything's safe out there, and that the standards are still the same for load ratings and analysis. So we'll continue to keep the assembly informed. This will be a great tool for the barge ramp special committee to take on their first meeting on March 13th, and we will have ample discussion on that condition assessment. It's $15,000 for the condition assessment. We have started a partnership with WCA, Clinton, Haida, and the borough for a child care initiative. I think this is a really, really exciting thing for young families across the borough. Apparently our Wrangell demographic, we had a little bit of a baby boom over the last couple of years. I think people got a little bored during COVID, or not much to do in the wintertime or something. And we do have a number of babies age birth through three, a birth through five here in our community, which is great for the school district, but that presents a child care issue. And so Head Start is operating currently as one of those solutions, but between Clinton Heights and WCA, they are going to expand to another Head Start classroom with up to another 20 people, and they are also going to expand for another classroom just strictly for child care for another 20 families, so another 20 kids. And so up to 40 kids in this new program, entirely funded by Clinton Heights. We're going to provide the facility. We're going to partner with the school. WCA is going to help hire folks. This will create 7 to 10 jobs. So I think really exciting for young families in the borough. We have you might have seen some people surveying around town. We have St. Michael Street and McKinnon Road being surveyed this week and into the next week. We will plan, believe me, I'm aware, St. Michael Street's a mess, and I know nobody knows it more than our public works director back there. We've had five water main breaks this year on St. Michael Street, and it's time to not only resurface our road, but replace the underground infrastructure. It's getting ridiculous, and the borough in previous years has made no attempt to really replace underground infrastructure, but it is my administration's goal to replace the road and underground infrastructure every year, no matter the footprint of the road. So we are going to prioritize McKinnon. It'll be bidded out by April 1st, and you guys will see construction in April, May, June, and then to St. Michael Street, and then McKinnon will go be the next road project, and that'll happen in FY26 budget. And I know that everybody bounces around on McKinnon too, so we're not blind to it. We're actively towards the solution. So One of the items on St. Michael Street is related to tonight's agenda. We have two MOUs that we're working on. We're going to work on one with the Rod and Gun Club. We talked about that last meeting. That's still something I need to get done for you guys at the next meeting. And for the Wrangell Athletic Club with the Nolan Center. So that'll come before you either March 11th or the 28th. But tonight you do have mutual aid agreements with the State of Alaska Department of Transportation. And you do have Clink and Ida MOU for child care and early and for Head Start. So we did make some good progress on that. The last thing I will leave you with is this stack of papers that's right in front of me. And this is a new lobbying initiative that we're going to work on. It's something that we had to dust off Bob Purnell's filing cabinet. And this is the Bradfield Road Project. This is something that the community of Wrangell explored back in the early 2000s. It is essentially a state-permitted easement and corridor that goes right to the Cassiar Canadian Highway. It is, at the time, in 2004, based off of their note to Mr. Purnello, it was $483 million to get done, probably a billion-plus at this point in the game, which isn't shocking. But with Essential Air Services looking at getting cut, with our ferry system not where it needs to be and probably never going to be where it needs to be, it's not on the trajectory of being healed, this is an opportunity for us to engage our federal delegation, get that road permitted, and this is the design stack from 2004, it's permitted design, and move forward. And I would push it with our new logging initiative, start logging out on the Bradfield slate designed highway and construct a logging road and then a highway afterwards. That would be the cheapest way to do it. So you have access to timber, critical minerals, as well as transportation options down to the lower 48. And that would make Wrangell real estate, I think, the most valuable in Southeast Alaska. So we're gonna take a stab at it. And it's kind of a pie in the sky thing, I think some people think, but hey, they just divested $128 billion from the California light rail project, so maybe they can dedicate a million of that to the Wrangell Borough. So that is my very brief manager's report for tonight.
Thank you. I think it's evident we have no plans to dwindle away. Wrangell will be here in 20 years and hopefully very prosperous. Okay, any other questions, Assembly? Assembly Member DeBoard?
Just one follow-up question, Mason. On this barge ramp assessment from 2011, there was multiple recommendations that were made to be completed to extend the service life. Do you have any idea if any of those were completed?
The only repairs that have been made to the barge ramp, to my knowledge, I know our port director is sick tonight, but is the barge ramp float that was done by Dave Miller and Company, as well as we just did a repair not too long ago about some steel around the pin on the ramp that had degraded significantly. So those are the only two repairs that I'm aware of. Certainly the assembly members that have been on here for a lot longer could maybe speak to that item.
Well, actually, I believe they did underneath structures, beefing up of the whole rails. I think that was done a while back. I mean, it's kind of bad because I was going to ask Steve about it tonight. Okay. I'm pretty sure they did. I know they did the pins. They did, because I already talked to Steve about this before. I am the one who asked for the new assessment because we're going to have this committee and we can't ask the barge line and say, hey, we want you to move without telling them why. And that 2011 one, but he did tell me that a lot of that stuff has been done. I just can't go into exactly what he said. I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago when I talked to him about it.
Maybe if we could get a report from Steve on what was done and what wasn't done from that assessment.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And I think that, you know, I sent emails out to Dan Kelly and Don Reed and Corey Bagan at Sampson. They've been really great. And our local partners here at AML have been really great. Charities in the audience there. And we're all in partnership together. There's two issues. There's the safety issue of the ramp, and then there's the location of the ramp. And number one is the safety of that ramp. And we can't continue to operate a structure that's not up to standard. And so we'll get that information out of that report, and we will adjust accordingly. So appreciate the comments there.
Okay, any other questions? All right, does that complete your report, Borough Manager?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, on to Borough Clerk's report, please.
I don't know what's in my report, I don't have anything, but I do want to let you know and the public know too that their request to take the Borough Manager's report and all the other director reports and combine them and put them on the website is done. So
great.
That's something that if the public wants to
to hear. Yeah. And then with respect to the budget, down and dirty budget analysis that you just gave us,
that
would be good to be on the webpage.
Yeah, we'll plan. Jackson and I will hammer out the general fund today as it sits, and we can publish that in the next manager's report. That'd be appropriate.
Okay, great. Any questions, Assembly? Next up, Mayor and Assembly business. Anyone? I know I attended several meetings, but go ahead, Assembly Member DeBoard.
Just based on our earlier conversation, I'd like to formally request a work session on playgrounds for
all right.
the time that they deem appropriate.
All right. Any objection? Okay. Any other Assembly business?
Yeah, I've got two things.
Assembly Member Mock.
Yeah, so I heard a few rumors or murmurs around, my first full session or assembly meeting, but that I'm not a resident or things like that. But I just want to make sure the public knows that I am a resident. I've been living here for 2 years. You probably read in the paper where I work. It's a big company. I do a lot of traveling for work, things like that. But I'm happy to call Wrangell my home, and this is where I live. So yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions.
And you're a registered voter?
I am a registered voter
all
here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I have to check when somebody puts that.
Yeah. So I'm happy to answer anyone's questions or stop me on the street or stop in my office. So my second thing is I'd like to, we have Aldertop kind of in the radar. I've heard a few people kind of bring up that they want to live in town. I know that the city has properties in town. I'd love to see if we could do some sort of review or survey of what city properties are the most developable. I think that would be beneficial, not only as income, but we have a housing problem. So
certainly. A couple comments, if I might. So I know the Economic Development Director is going to kill me if we take something else on because we've been working until 9 p.m. at night every night, 7 days a week. But I think that would be best appropriate after we get done with the budget season, and it'll give us some time to kind of prepare an analysis of local lots that for potential purchase and distribution to the public. So I'd be happy to take that on, but just want to set realistic expectations. As it relates to Assemblymember DeBoard's request on the park work session, April 8th does that work for you guys?
As long as they have additional information. I just hate to waste time. I like meaty work sessions.
I think we can get a lot of meat. I think I'm going to talk with Heather and just see what her schedule is with Northwest Playground. We don't have to commit to building a playground through Northwest Playgrounds. She can come here and give an assessment. I think that would be a really great opportunity for us to dial in, get some different ideas about what equipment we should be placing in our parks based on the environment. So I think that would be reasonable. We can have a lot.
Okay.
Okay.
And then with respect to land, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring it up again. We do on Wrangell.com have a mapping system that the public can look at and look at available land. So please do that. Public, please register for NXL, early warning system. Any other reports before I move on? We do have, under mayor and assembly appointments, we do have one open position. Finance committee. We really would like to have a member of the community to be on the finance committee. I'm interested, and the assembly's interested in another revenue stream to help fund our schools. So we need some brilliant minds out there to help us solve that problem. Anything else?
Madam Mayor, I just might offer the opportunity for anybody in public that doesn't have an item tonight that wants to leave. You guys you're welcome to leave.
Yeah.
Unless you guys are staying for the whole thing. I'm talking